Can the amount of grief on the death of a loved one be said to be inversely proportional to the level of spiritual advancement? Because once one understands that one is not the body but the soul in one's eternal relationship with Krishna, one will not be so emotionally invested in other relationships and won't feel the loss that much. Answer, it's possible, but may not be essential, that the more advanced a person is, the less they will grieve, because multiple reasons. First is that we all have a particular kind of body and a particular kind of mind. So say, some bodies are more vulnerable to cold than others. Some people, when the temperature drops a little bit, they immediately need to wear warm clothes, or they start trembling and they start getting cold and other symptoms, other characteristics of ill health. If they become spiritually advanced, will the nature of their body change? Is it that suddenly their capacity to endure cold will increase? Their willpower, their determination to persevere in doing their duty to Krishna, in service to Krishna, in spite of the cold, their determination will definitely increase. But their body itself may not change. So just as spiritual advancement may not change the body's constitution, similarly, it may not change the mind's constitution. Some people by nature are more emotional. Some people are more rational. Now, both kinds of people can, by their spiritual advancement, become more committed to the service of Krishna. And that means that they will not feel that much emotion. That means they will not be that much swayed by emotion. Say, if you consider an emotional person, they will not be swayed by that much emotion while growing spiritually. But that doesn't mean that they will not feel emotion. That's the way their mind is. Some people are more sensitive, some people are less sensitive. And even spiritually advanced people might have sensitivity which may not go down just because they have developed spiritual advancement. Now, they may be able to stay composed even when they feel hurt internally, because they're determined to serve Krishna, and if composure helps them to serve Krishna, they may maintain their composure. But that doesn't mean that they won't feel the pain if somebody speaks hurtful words. Also, similarly, some people may be of a more of an emotional nature, and when they encounter the death of a loved one, they may have a lot of emotions over there, especially if that person was very close to them. So at one level, yes, the spiritual advancement is seen in the fixity of one's service to Krishna. And Arjuna also, we saw, he in the Mahabharata is overwhelmed by emotion. First sorrow and then anger. But then he served Krishna. That is critical. He didn't ever give up his service to Krishna. In fact, whatever emotions he went to, eventually that emotion increased his service to Krishna. He fought like never before on the next day to get Jayadratha knocked down. So, we needn't make the absence of the emotions of emotions associated with the death of a loved one, we need to make that absence as the sole barometer of spiritual advancement. Because those emotions may just arise as psychological reactions to life events, if the psyche of a person is in a particular way, just as there can be physical reactions to life events, as the body starts shivering when there is cold. That's one point. Another point is that we don't want to be emotionally entangled as attachment, but we need to be emotionally invested. We need to care for people. And when we care for them, it's important then that we learn to express that care properly. So, even when we understand that our defining relationship is our relationship with Krishna, still there may be some horizontal relationships that may strengthen and shelter us in this world as we move toward Krishna. When those relationships are lost, then that may cause us grief. And we shouldn't see that as a lack of spiritual advancement. Now we need to practice spirituality that is emotionally healthy. Emotionally healthy means that it does not involve an artificial repression of emotions. And of course, it doesn't involve an excessive indulgence in emotionality. So what will be an emotionally healthy spirituality may vary from person to person, just as what may be physically healthy spirituality may vary from person to person. And of course, if somebody is a great devotee who is very close to, from whom we have received a lot of inspiration, then their departure may cause us great grief. And Srila Prabhupada also says, for example, that when the spiritual master departs, a disciple feels extremely bereaved, and tears on the departure of a spiritual master can convey the attachment of the disciple to the spiritual master, and that attachment is in many ways conducive for increasing our attachment to Krishna. Prasangamajaram pasham atmanah kavayo vidusaiva sadhu shukruto mokshadwaram apavritam. Prasangam ajaram pasham. That attachment is like a knot that never gets old, and it keeps us entangled in this world. But when that attachment is directed towards the Supreme, toward the devotees of the Supreme, then it opens the doors for liberation. So basically the point is that we can't reduce spiritual advancement to one particular behavioral aspect alone. We need to see spiritual advancement primarily in the overall dedication of a person to the service of Krishna, not just their reactions to life events such as bereavement. Having said that, it's also true that excessive grief, excessive lamenting is definitely undesirable, or not just from a emotional, from a spiritual perspective, but even from a emotional and physical perspective, from the perspective of overall well-being of a person. And if somebody is doing like that, then rather than judging them as lacking in spiritual advancement, we need to think, okay, is there any way I can help them? So sometimes sharing spiritual knowledge, sometimes just offering support, sometimes helping them move out of that situation of grief. By all these, we can be of service to them in coming out of that phase of emotional disturbance. So if somebody is in a state of emotional affliction, then our primary disposition needs to be, how can I help them? We need to have a service attitude, not a judgmental attitude. Oh, I thought you were very spiritually advanced, and now you are exposed to be just a shallow spiritualist. We may decide if somebody is too emotional and somebody becomes too emotionally afflicted, that yes, maybe this person may not be as much a source of inspiration for me as I had thought earlier, and I may also have to look for inspiration elsewhere. But rather than judging that, oh, they lack spiritual advancement, we need to focus on how we can be of service to them and how we can be inspired in our spiritual life, either through them or through someone else. Thank you.